Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 18.
Hello everyone and welcome back, and also Happy New Year. We're already at the mid-stage of Season 18. Yes, Episode 5's here already. It seems like it's come around really quickly, but I imagine that's because we didn't take a festive break. And a lot of shows do, and fair play, but that's not what we do here. Because we appreciate some people don't like the festive season, and they need continuity. I certainly need continuity, even though I do enjoy the festivities. And speaking of the festivities and the new year, I want to thank each and every one of you for the support you've shown this show throughout 2024. Not only have you helped the show grow throughout that year, you've also shaped the show and how it is now. It exists now with things like Dark Realms, and we've messed around with the format a bit, placing Patreon names at the end. All of this shaping has come from you. And how the show exists now is testament to the fact of what I always say, that this is your show. And please, let's keep that going into 2025. With your ideas, your suggestions, email me at contact@thedarkparanormal.com, not only with your experiences, but with any suggestions at all. And if you are a fan of the show and can't afford to support through Patreon, which is totally understandable, then maybe tell your friends, give us a share, rate us on whatever way you listen to the show, or maybe leave us a nice review somewhere or something like that. They're all free ways that you can help support the show. As podcasts have grown and big companies have got involved, we now see that the charts start to fill up with things made by BBC or by CNN or other big media conglomerates, and it's really humbling to know that our show is still a massive success thanks to you guys from one man in a small room. If you can support the show via Patreon, go over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal and become one of our wonderful team members, because when you do, you get everything on this feed, both ad-free and before everyone else. There's a direct connection to me via just posting on Patreon, where I receive an email with your comments and feedback, which literally almost makes you a semi-producer of the show, and you can also gain full access to Dark Bites. Dark Bites is our weekly Patreon-only podcast, which we put all of the experiences that didn't quite make a full episode of The Dark Paranormal. But more importantly, it's become almost a society within a society, and I'm exceptionally proud of that show. Also, you can gain access to the entire back catalogue, which is closing in on 100 hours of Patreon-only content. But, and I say this every week because it's true, the best thing about our Patreon is our Patreon community, because they are fantastic. It's the most welcoming sort of paranormal forum, if you will, that I've ever known. And I'm not just saying that because it's on the Patreon. I'm saying that as someone who from the age of 8 has looked for any sort of group who's into what I'm into and never found one without a hierarchy or toxicity. This has neither. It's literally a collective of like-minded individuals who have total respect for each other about a topic we all love. So if that sounds like something you'd like to be part of, and you like the sound of earlier access without adverts, and of course, the chance to binge through that back catalogue and receive a new episode every week, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But right now, for the first time in 2025, lower those lights. Make yourself comfortable, and most importantly, leave your disbelief at the door as we hear all about Dolls of Possession. My name is Vivian. Feel free to use my name without worrying about my identity, as I doubt most people who know me are listeners to the show. And if they are, odds are they're familiar with these events already. That said, I will be using fake names for other parties involved as they appear. I'll apologise in advance if this recollection of events that took place 15 years ago seems a little disjointed. To be completely honest, I'm quite unsure where to begin. Several years ago, I finally gathered up the courage to submit one of my experiences to my favourite show at the time, and it was written off as a creepypasta, despite my experience being genuine. Due to this, it's taken me up to this point after discovering your podcast 3 years ago to finally write in. I've had paranormal experiences all of my life, and I've talked about some of them on my YouTube channel, but that's rather dead, so I doubt I'll ever get round to talking about this one. Some were creepy, some were wholesome, but the one I'm about to share with you was downright terrifying. I guess I'll start with some background details. I grew up with my grandparents in a house out in the middle of nowhere in the mountains, where it was pretty commonplace to hear the scream of a mountain lion at night. Thanks to this, I was pretty much immune to scary sounds. Visuals, however, were a whole other matter. I was raised Catholic, but I learned of and converted to Wicca quite young. I never hated Catholicism. I still don't. I only converted because I got tired of praying to a god that wouldn't take care of my grandmother's illnesses. At least in a way she could live without pain. My grandma knew that I didn't follow her faith anymore, and whilst not happy about it, she never pressed the issue. She did, however, tell me stories of my oldest aunt experimenting with witchcraft, as she called it. She also told me how her mother, my great-grandma, could make things happen. While I was born and raised in the USA, my lineage comes heavily from indigenous peoples, including Mexican, and so my grandma referred to what she saw as bad magic as brujería, and good or healing magic as curandera. I was fortunate enough to spend almost 15 years in that house before we ended up having to move due to Grandpa retiring. The house we moved to was fairly old, and if I recall it correctly, was built around the late 1800s. It was old enough that the bathroom was part of an add-on at the back of the house. When we first went to check that place out, before actually bringing any things into it, I explored the entire thing as a curious and somewhat disgruntled teenager. The house had a simple layout. I promise the following information is relevant to the experience. The front door led into the living room with a bedroom to the right. A dining room was straightforward past a half wall with the opening in the middle of the room. And there's another bedroom off to the right in the dining room. Past the dining room was the kitchen, where there was yet another bedroom off to the right in the kitchen. The house had no hallways whatsoever. The thing that I immediately found odd was that all of the bedrooms were connected directly, without having to leave them via the rooms which they were primarily entered through. Thus, the bedroom to the right of the front door had a second door which led straight into the bedroom that was to the right of the dining room. And that bedroom was connected to the bedroom that was to the right of the kitchen via a small walk-in closet that was more similar to the size of a cupboard than anything. I took note of the stairs and promptly relegated them to being my last frontier. I continued to the back of the house, the add-on, where the bathroom had been built and the door to the basement was. It was one of those old counterweight lifted doors, the type set flat to the ground. I was expecting it to be uncomfortable, since the realtor had listed it as unfinished. It was cold and dim, but it wasn't nearly as scary as I thought it would be. I don't even remember that much of the basement beyond the multitude of spiderwebs and the massive ancient central heater that fed the forced air system that had been abandoned in favour of hot water baseboard heaters. Nothing left to explore in the relatively small house, I set my sights on the stairs. The stairs that were in the walk-in closet that adjoined the last two bedrooms. The door to the attic was quite similar to the door to the basement, except it wasn't counterweighted and it had not one but two latches. One was a slide bolt with no locking mechanism, and the other just a hook and eye latch. Neither of these was shut when I made my way up those cramped steps. I pushed the door open, very carefully, to ensure it didn't slam shut. But I needn't have bothered, as there were boxes and suitcases piled behind it, as I soon discovered upon completely entering that dusty space. The very first thing I noticed was what appeared to be clothing sitting on the box directly in front of the door. The same as the basement, the attic had been listed also as unfinished. It was immediately apparent why, as I took in the bare beams of the ceiling and the exposed insulation between them. Only about a third of the attic had any kind of flooring, and I wasn't secure with any kind of fastening, so I was unwilling to explore beyond the bounds of that floor. So I began to investigate my immediate surroundings more closely. It was strange to me that there were still personal belongings in the house, regardless of the fact it was being rented to us. I took the remaining two steps to the box in front of me, only to see that the clothes I thought were sitting atop was actually an old-fashioned doll. And it wasn't alone. There were two other dolls, one still in its box, all of them laying down on the larger box. The one still in its packaging and the one immediately next to it were the type of doll that would close their eyes if laying down. The eyes were only half shut on the one in the package. And I felt an immediate aversion to these objects. Despite being a horror movie and show lover, I loathed dolls. I hated the movie Child's Play and all of its sequels. They set me up for having a lifelike dislike of dolls, especially hollow ones. So I gave up exploring the rest of the things in the attic, and after shutting the door, I made sure I closed both of the latches. I promptly forgot about it as our main focus became packing and moving not only my small accumulation of possessions, but also my grandparents' 30-odd years' worth of married life. Trinkets, keepsakes, sentimental knick-knacks, books, movies, pictures, the list goes on. During all of this, my mother and her girlfriend at the time helped as much as they could. My stepmum asked for the grand tour the very first time she set foot in the new house. She and I had quite a good relationship, so I eagerly obliged. I even took her to the attic. She went up the stairs first, but I did notice she didn't have to undo the latches to open the door. I was immediately uneasy. I still followed her upstairs, of course, determined to see my role through to the end. As she expressed her thoughts about the attic and began to move away from the door, my eyes were drawn against my will to the dolls. The two dolls that were not in packaging of any sort were sitting up on the box, staring directly at the floor. I approached the box, heart and throat, and I looked at the last doll. Its eyes were now open. I told my stepmom that I thought we should leave, and she didn't argue, though I could tell she was still curious about the attic. We shut the door behind us, and again, I closed both latches. This time, I went back and placed a seal on the door. I checked that door every day until it faded to the back of my mind. For a long time, I didn't notice anything strange or unsettling, beyond the lights in the house not seeming nearly as bright as I felt they should be. Not quite a year of living in that house, my grandpa passed away. I continued on to finish high school and then go on to college. At the end of the first semester, I took a break and went back home, as my grandma's health had gotten worse than it already was. I spent my time taking care of her and trying to find a job that wouldn't keep me away from home too much, but that would also supplement a meager income from Social Security. It was only 2 months of being home before she too passed away. I hated myself for the longest time. I'd gone out with my best friend, Sir, to cruise round town and vent and just exist for a few hours. When I got home, I called one of my other friends to check on them, as I knew she'd been going through a rough patch too. I had a habit of pacing when I would talk on the phone. I'd only made 2 passes past my grandma's closed bedroom door with the light spilling out from under it into the darkness of the dining room when this disturbed feeling settled on the back of my neck. I told my friend I'd call her back in the morning, and I hung up. I went and knocked on grandma's door. She was a light sleeper, but she relied on a prescription sleep aid to actually fall asleep. I wasn't expecting an answer, and I thought, or hoped, she'd just fallen asleep whilst reading. I was wrong. She was laying on the floor, cold, but not yet stiff, so I pressed her emergency alert button and I frantically relayed details to the operator on the other side. The next call was to my best friend, and Sir was back at my house before the ambulance even arrived. I don't remember who my next call was to. I don't remember if it was my aunt, who lived just 20 minutes outside of town, or to my mum, who lived 2 hours away. I just remember I kept blaming myself for not being there. By the time everyone but Sir had left, I was numb. But at the same time, I wasn't numb enough. I pulled out the pint bottle of Jack Daniels that I had stashed in my closet and I drank until I fell asleep. The arrangements came together quickly. My grandma was the rock of my family, and without her, everyone came to grieve. But simultaneously, everything was falling apart. I wanted it to be over. I wanted everyone to go back to their lives so that I could fade into the background with my grief by myself. That was exactly what happened after about a week and a half. I know that up to this point, it probably seems like just a lot of unloading unnecessary details. But I believe that this event was relevant and possibly the catalyst for what was to come. Let's take a quick break in proceedings to talk to you about somebody I've mentioned to you many times before, and that's Acorns. A new year, of course, brings new resolutions. Now, if my body could take itself to the gym, I would be sorted, but it can't do that. However, in regards to your financial situation, Acorns allows you to do that. Not take you to the gym, of course. But if in 2025, giving your money the best chance to grow is one of your resolutions, then choosing Acorns as an investment app is one of the smartest moves you'll make, in my opinion. Acorns will do the taking you to the gym, so to speak. You can set up an automatic withdrawal from your account to your Acorns account. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. And you don't need to be rich. Acorns allows you to invest with the spare money you have right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. We are so proud to be once again sponsored by Acorns for this episode because Acorns make it so easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. I love working with Acorns because they take things like investments, which we all believe are for other people, and they simplify them and give you all the support you need. Head to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal. Let's have a quick break to ask you a personal question. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. Our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare. You would not believe the amount of things that can mess with our hormones. Even nature likes to put us through hormonal changes, premenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean you're meant to suffer through it. And the good news is, you don't have to suffer through it anymore because we now have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement, it's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony sells every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their over 30,000 plus reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DARKPARANORMAL at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DARKPARANORMAL for 15% off today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I didn't handle it well. Despite being without a job and underage, I managed to spend every waking moment after that funeral was over and most of my aunts and uncles had gone back to their lives, drunk. I would find money in a drawer or a pocket in a piece of clothing, and I'd get friends of friends that were legal age to purchase alcohol. I never could do beer, and I felt like wine wouldn't do what I thought I needed. So it was always hard liquor. After about a month of this, my friends must have gotten together and talked and likely decided that I needed an intervention from wallowing in my grief. Thus, the friend who I'd been on the phone with that night, her girlfriend, my female best friend, and her boyfriend all came over unannounced. When I griped about them not asking if they could come over, my female best friend called me out by saying that I would have said no. And she was right. This is where things get very dark, very fast. And this is where I'll be using fake names for the sake of clarity. I will henceforth refer to my female best friend as Fern. Her boyfriend will be Chad. My other friend I was on the phone with that night, my grandma passed, will be Maddie. And her girlfriend will be Kathy. They'd brought more alcohol with them, and some corny party games, which included a child's plastic bowling set from Walmart. We made drinking games out of everything we played that night. At one point, it was Fern's turn, and she was sitting silently next to me. I nudged her, thinking she'd just lost track, and she didn't respond. At that point, I thought maybe she's had too much to drink. All right, that's enough drinking for you for now. Let's go and get some water, I said as I got up from the couch and held out a hand to her. She didn't acknowledge my offer of help. She didn't even look at me. She was staring blankly ahead at the same exact spot she was looking at when I nudged her. I motioned to the others to help me to get her up off the couch. Maddie walked over and grabbed one of Fern's arms and I grabbed the other. And we hauled her up off the couch together and began guiding her back towards the kitchen for some water. I was leading the way and I stepped through the opening in the first half wall that served as a doorway to the dining room, quickly sobering up as I'd pull Fern from behind me. She stopped suddenly. And I mean, so suddenly I was yanked backwards as if she'd ran into a solid obstacle. I turned to look to make sure I hadn't drunkenly steered her into the half wall or the pillar that connected it to the ceiling. We were in the dead centre of the gap between the two parts. I grasped her hand more firmly and stepped backwards. She didn't so much as sway forward. My friend Maddie was just as confused as I. She tried to push Fern from behind. Again, she didn't even stumble or anything else that would normally come from being pushed from behind. Completely puzzled, I took 3 or 4 steps back into the front room. I began to look around, trying to puzzle out what exactly was going on. I can't quite explain why, but I looked up, only to see the crucifix that my grandparents had hung on the support beam that spanned the upper portion of the half wall with the pillars that separated the front room from the dining room. My heart felt like it stopped in my chest. Suddenly, I felt as if I were being watched. I turned my head to look at Grandma's bedroom door. Since her death, it had been closed, and when I looked at it, it was ajar. My friends and their significant others had been back and forth to the kitchen, bathroom, etc., and it didn't occur to me to tell them to not snoop in every other room. My breathing became panicked as I asked who'd opened the door. Everyone except Fern shook their heads. I asked them all to stay with Fern whilst I walked towards my grandma's room. I didn't want to. I was afraid. But I had to know. I walked through her room to the door of the walk-in closet, and I prayed to my gods and goddesses as I opened it up and looked at the attic door. The latches were undone. I didn't even bother going up the stairs to close them again. As slowly as I had entered the room, I practically flew out of it. I shut the door behind me hurriedly and ushered my friends towards the front door as I swiped the car keys from the side table next to my grandma's chair. They didn't question this odd behaviour, as I directed everyone to get Fern in the car. Maddie rode in the passenger seat, whilst Chad and Kathy rode in the back with Fern tucked firmly in between them. Once we were a decent distance away from the house, I finally told everyone what my fear was. I thought my best friend, Fern, was possessed. I told them that it would be our best bet to go to the church. I had thought the doors would be open, that the church was a sanctuary available to the community regardless of time of day. This was largely due to the fact that despite being Wiccan, I attended a private faith-based school for the last 3 years of high school. At some point between graduating and these events taking place, apparently it was decided to lock the doors of a church at night, to prevent vandalism and discourage vagrants from trying to squat there. I was devastated to find we couldn't get inside, but I refused to give up on helping my friend. I asked Maddie to go back to the house with me so we could get some of my supplies. We left Chad and Kathy with Fern, sitting on the steps of that church. Their only directive was to fill in the priest with all the information we had, if he so happened to pass, whilst we were gone. Back at the house, I grabbed my bag of supplies. I had herbs, oils, and everything else I could possibly need for a ritual in that bag, including my athame. We sped back to the church and picked the others up. I was at a bit of a loss as where to go. Ideally, rituals should be performed in a place of comfort and awe power. Previously, I would have deemed the house as an appropriate space, but that was the last place I wanted to be. My mind was racing when it occurred to me there was another place in our little town that was deemed to be a sacred place. We had a shrine dedicated to Ave Maria, up on the hill above the local hospital. It was closed in the winter due to road conditions, but I was desperate. We drove across town to the hospital and parked right outside the gate that closed off the vehicle access. We all got out of the car and began to guide Fern up the snow-packed road. It had been a good winter so far, and the snowpack was up to my knees. We got about halfway up the road when Fern suddenly started resisting us and tried to bolt back to the car. The four of us held her fast and we slowly progressed up that road despite the snow and despite her struggles. We settled at the base of the massive cross that rose in the centre of the little grouping of outbuildings that comprised the shrine. I cased my protective circle and prepared every purifying and protective item that I had with me. And I tried everything. Sage, salt, anointed water, holy water. I even tried the holy dirt from the Santuario di Camillo. Nothing was making a difference. I don't even remember what made me think of my next idea, but it occurred to me that the only thing I'd not tried was blood. Some people look on the use of blood in rituals as black magic or evil. Reality, it boils down to intent. Blood is a highly powerful component of any kind of ritualistic setting. Even the Christian faith relies on a substitution of the blood of Christ for their communion. I reached for my athame, unsheathed it, and I don't recall if athames have been talked about by other submitters on your podcast before. But for those who don't know, an athame is a small blade that's often dull or completely blunt, as its main purpose is to be symbolic, cutting things not actually physical. But mine was sharp. It was part of my grandpa's collection of weapons, and he was fond of making sure that even his decorative items were functional. I held my breath as I reached for Fern's left hand. I asked my friends to hold her still. Chad balked. He didn't know me well enough to know that I would never hurt her. My other two friends helped. I made a cut just deep enough to draw blood across Fern's palm, careful not to damage muscles or anything deeper than the skin. She looked straight at me. I made a cut in my own left palm, and as I reached to grasp her left hand with mine, she began to scream and thrash. Yes, as a mature adult, I realized that my decision was rash and risky and quite stupid. But despite knowing this, I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't go back and do things any differently. As our palms met, our blood mingled, and it was as if time stopped. I remember losing my hearing and feeling an immense pressure all around me. I chanted a blessing, meant to purify and expel whatever it was that tried to take hold of my friend. As the last words, "Blessed be," left my lips, Fern's eyes rolled back in her head, and she passed out. I felt lighter, like the pressure had suddenly just disappeared. And then I lost consciousness too. I woke with Maddie shaking me, calling my name. Fern was already awake, nestled in Chad's jacket, staring at me with an indescribable look. It was as if she'd lived a whole lifetime and then been transported back in time to this exact moment. Her eyes were haunted. Her face was pale, and there were dark circles around her eyes and at the hollow of her throat. She croaked a thank you. I asked if she remembered anything of what happened, and she said the last thing she remembered was bowling in the dining room with the playset. We've kept in touch throughout the years, and she's my oldest son's biological aunt. I wish I could say that everything went back to normal after that night. In a sense, it did. Fern was able to go about her day-to-day life without any problems for a long time. It wasn't until I was pregnant with my eldest that I ended up living in the same house as her for a couple of months. Towards the end of that time living together, strange things started to happen. Her boyfriend complained about seeing shadows moving around the trailer, things going missing. The animals on the ranch all started getting sick. We both ended up moving out and going our separate ways due to a disagreement with the property owner. We didn't think anything of it. Years later, Fern was again living with me, after I met and got married to my wife. At first, things were fine. Then, once again, after a couple of months, things started to get creepy. My wife, our son, Fern's children, and her boyfriend all saw a shadow figure moving throughout the house, even during the day. We could not keep any fresh fruit or vegetables in the house, unless we planned on using it that very same day, because it would rot overnight. The house itself started having problems. Plumbing, electrical, structural, you name it. The central heating even stopped working in half of the house. Later, we found out that was due to a feral cat giving birth and trying to nest her kittens in the insulated duct that connected one half of the central heat to the other. Needless to say, they didn't survive. After Fern moved out, everything went back to normal and the house stopped deteriorating, as oddly quickly as it was. I miss my best friend, but we talk regularly, and we've both agreed that we can never live in the same building ever again. We're not entirely sure what the boundaries are of this thing. We don't know if we could live on the same block or even in the same town. I think I may have accidentally split that thing in two that night, because when we're apart, there are no problems. I'm sorry if this story wasn't too exciting, but the details were relevant. Thank you for reading this, and if it makes it onto a regular season, thank you for sharing it with everyone. Vivian. Wow. Well, firstly, Vivian, thank you for submitting your experience. And secondly, I think already in week one of a new year, you've managed to give the most unnecessary apology ever, because that experience held me gripped and I thought it was excellent. Terrifying, but excellent. And please do keep us updated if anything else goes on. It's such an interesting concept, the idea you split whatever that thing was in half. And I'd be interested to know, as I'm sure we all would be, what the fate of those dolls was. This is Kevin quickly interrupting my recording of this episode, just to make you aware of a few things that took place that could be completely coincidental in the attempt to get this to you. But basically, a number of issues with systems and software meant that it went 24 hours out late to our Patreon team. And also, interestingly, any time there was a positive word in that entire experience that I attempted to say, I'll give an example. The part where it mentions there were buildings that comprised the shrine, I pronounced it as compromised. Basically, anything that pointed towards the holy in this experience, when I attempted to read it out, it really was a struggle. For example, when Vivian looked up and seen a crucifix on the beam, I couldn't pronounce the word crucifix. It genuinely took about 11 attempts for me to get that word out. Just something I thought I'd throw into this recording to say, yes, could all be coincidental, could be down to me, not that I drink, but you know, we've all had a hectic year. Maybe it's just burnout, who knows? But it was very interesting that it was only in reference to anything sacred that my subconscious decided not to work. But I'll let you get back to Kevin, who recorded the episode anyway. So Vivian, if you want to provide an update on those dolls, please do let us know. The email address, and this is for anyone who's got their own paranormal experience, as ever, is contact@thedarkparanormal.com. Now, as we've changed the format of the show, we get to read out our wonderful new Patreon team members in their very own section at the end of the experience. And it's a pleasure and an honour to not have to rush through these names as I did previously, because each and every one of you deserves your own time on this show for supporting it. So a huge welcome and thank you to Graham Elliott, Brie Taff, Turtles, Tyson, Mandy Kay, Nina Pippola, Elizabeth, Whitney, Rose Holmes, Jamie Smith, Hilary Brengel, Belle Wehr, Christina, Ash, Laura, Amy Doggett, Liam Devers, Natalie Wilborts, Victoria McLean, Lindsay Dawson, Debbie Wood, Sid Horndl, Alexander Recho, and Jess the Historian. Thank you so much, guys. Your support allows this show to keep going, as I said at the start, in spite of huge media conglomerates trying to push into the podcasting world. Your support allows independent podcasters like myself to keep going and keep providing you with the content that you are shaping. That's the one thing an independent podcaster can give you that you won't get from a media conglomerate, is that you have a voice. Joining our Patreon basically makes you a shareholder of the podcast. So, if you like the idea of early accesses with no ads, and of course, access to the Dark Bites Patreon-only podcast, Dark Bites, and its almost a 100-hour back catalogue, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. So, as we bring this episode to an end and we look forward to the second half of our season where things ramp up significantly, I'll say goodbye, take care, and remember, whenever you're discussing the paranormal, always leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you next time, right here, on The Dark Paranormal.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential. But these days, it's tough to find one that will last through the season. That's why the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. Slate Magazine called it the greatest hoodie ever made, and from cotton to zipper, it's made right here in the USA. It's crafted with timeless style, heavyweight fleece, a double-lined hood, and reinforced elbow patches, which means this hoodie can withstand any outing or adventure. It'll be your new favorite hoodie, and you can depend on it for years to come. Plus, buying from American Giant means supporting local communities of farmers, manufacturers, and more. This season, snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code CLASSIC24.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.